Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back to Rich Hill's Golf Show podcast, everybody. 2022.
Is that the start?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Episode number 111. Myself, Rick Shields, co-host Guy. How are you? Are you good?
I'm very good. Up to about 30 minutes ago when you walked into the office, I hadn't seen you since 22nd of December, maybe.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while. The beard's got thicker.
Yes.
I've been looking at maybe just going big with it.
Okay. How big are we talking?
We'll see. We'll see how much it annoys me.
I think you're due like a new year, new me vibe of some description. So
I need to lose some bloody weight, that's for sure, over the Christmas period.
So you've been, obviously, had Christmas. We all have. Yeah. Then you've been away on a holiday with the family.
I have.
So before Christmas, you were kind of, well, let's say November, December, you were on it.
I was.
Running, eating healthy.
Yeah.
Let's say middle of December, it kind of standard got a little bit like, well, it's Christmas.
The Rose is open.
Exactly.
Quality Street, going out for some nice meals, eating too much, drinking too much. Yeah, it's gone.
Been bad.
I took my running shoes optimistically to Centre Parks when I went on holiday.
As you do.
Didn't see the light of day.
Yeah.
Didn't get out the suitcase.
But did you have that mindset? You think, well, I've walked a bit today though.
Well, you know what though? What's crazy? Because I bike so much around the place. Every day I went on my Garmin and I look at my steps. I hardly ever got over 10,000 steps.
Ah, because you were cycling.
Yeah. So I feel like I don't really know if I could justify it.
Yeah. Well, I think what's concerning me though is today's not Monday. It's a Tuesday.
It is.
So does that mean you're starting healthy now or is it going to be next week?
Nope.
On
today,
it now.
Right, started. Okay. Yesterday was still okay. Transitional period. Today I'm back on it. So I've optimistically got my gym bag in the car. I don't think I'm going to make it today, but it was a start.
That's the mindset that you need.
It is.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's good to be back.
It is good to be back.
Breaking news, over the weekend, we achieved something on YouTube, which we're very fortunate. No golf YouTuber has ever achieved before. We hit 2 million subscribers. Thank you. Thank you.
Congratulations, everyone. Richard.
Thank you to you. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to the team, to Matt, to Harry, to Tim, to Amy, to Gary, and to yourself. We were desperately hoping to reach it by the end of 2021, just as a nice little, ticked it off in 2021. It just ran over a week later, but your support, everyone behind it, I'm looking straight down the lens of the camera now. Thank you, everyone that supports the channel, subscribes. It does mean a lot. It's nice to hit 2 million.
It is, but it's weird, isn't it, with like these numbers, because we have things in our like sights for so long and you hit them and it's like, you can't actually believe that it's 2 million people. If that makes you see it's a number. Do you get what I mean? Like, we have these numbers in our head and it's almost as if it's just a number, but it's 2 million people.
It's crazy. And even since that, we've gained another 10,000 on top of that.
That is outrageous.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, when I go on to other podcasts, I always get this question, what's the goal, Rick? What do you want to get to? Well, I just want to make great, fun content that people enjoy. But realistically, there's 65 million golfers in the world. So I want 65 million subscribers, please.
Absolutely. And then a few non-golfers who like your beard, who follow for that.
So maybe 100 million.
Yes.
It's not too much to ask.
No, but I think it's a weird one, isn't it? Because a lot of people who kind of semi-understand YouTube or don't understand YouTube kind of don't understand what a subscriber actually is or the importance of it. And to some degree, it's all more obviously about views. You want to make content people watch and people enjoy. But it is nice to know that there's been that many people have gone, this guy's content's good, I'll subscribe.
Correct.
So to the next million?
On to the next million. It's a shame. I've had quite a lot of people asking, even my mum asked, oh, where's your 2 million plaque? I'm like, don't get one. Have to make me one. No, you get 100,000. Which is the one just over Guy's shoulder, which we've got for the podcast channel. You get a bigger one for gold, one for 1 million. And then actually the next goal is 10 million and you get a diamond play button.
Question.
Go for it.
I remember once me, you and Gary, who mentioned a minute ago, had a chat at the Belfry in the cafe, one of the bars. And at the time, Gary said he believed the roof at that time for YouTube subscribers was 700,000. And I think you had probably 400 at the time, 400,000. So that seemed quite realistic, that like you couldn't comprehend being more than that. When you said 10 million then, my first thought is, and I don't mean it's a negative way, we'll never get that.
Yeah.
But it could happen. Yeah, like, what do you, saying this now on the 11th of January, 2022, what do you think the ceiling is? Or do you think there is one, realistically?
Well, you'll probably know more about this because you dive into analytics a bit more, because the amount of unique viewers we get is astronomical, isn't it?
It's a lot more than 2 million.
And still, even right now, only 40% of the audience that watch the channel is subscribed. Mm. So even just using that slight maths, you'd like to think there's going to be close to 5 million.
Yeah.
Achievable almost right now.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think YouTube is obviously still growing. It's still a monstrous platform. New people are always coming to YouTube. It's kind of definitely taken over from terrestrial broadcasting, TV, traditional media, etc. So I'd like to think the goal is 10 million, but hey, if we hit that, that'd be amazing. If we hit that, we might look at that and go, well, is the next goal 50 million? Mm-hmm. Who knows? But it's exciting. We've got an exciting year of content coming your way. We've got some new stuff that we're going to be bringing out, but also we're going to revisit some classic stuff that we know you guys absolutely love.
Yes.
Sometimes we've got guilty of when we make something that's really good and you guys love it, we stop making it. Mm-hmm. Just because our own, like, we've done that. But hopefully this year we're going to bring a little bit, few of the videos that you enjoy back a little bit more and make them better.
Definitely.
Apart from that, did you have a nice Christmas and New Year?
I did. I very much tried to think about what do I want to do this year, like personally. And I've had years before where I said, right, I'm going to stop eating chocolate or whatever. Yeah, I'm just going to stop eating. I'm sick of eating. Boring. It's waste of time. That was a jinx. But I thought to myself, what can I set as like a bit of a resolution that's achievable, but actually going to give me something back as well? Do you know what I mean? Because I think if you start off the year and say, right, that's it now, I'm going to run four times a week, for example, unless you actually enjoy running, it's quite hard to stick to that.
We discussed this just before we finished for the Christmas period. Mm. You do a lot of running. I didn't realise.
Sly. Like, I was looking this morning, I've done three this year already, which isn't a lot, but it's just that level of fairly consistently.
We're only on the 11th of January.
I'm just trying to keep it ticking over, but that's not my resolution for this year. You've seen this on Instagram.
I have.
My resolution this year is to just play more golf.
Easy.
In any capacity, because I was thinking that bit of a weird spell you have in between Christmas and New Year where you're kind of not sure what day it is and it's a bit weird and you're kind of thinking about the year ahead. It's not Christmas anymore, but it's not quite New Year. I was just thinking that I've let golf slip. Mm. Like, as a junior, and you were exactly the same, golf was my life, which was probably a bit too much at the time. I'd get heartbroken if I played badly.
Yeah.
But I do miss playing golf, and just, I don't want to get to that point where it's not really my sport anymore, where I kind of work in golf and talk about golf, but don't play. So, went a little trip. I am a member of my home golf club via that Play More Golf app, which I told you about. Within that app, you get points using other courses.
By the way, this is not a sponsored app.
Absolutely not. I have to pay for £350 for this.
If you do want a sponsor, Guy.
If Play More Golf want to give me some free points to play and have like a monthly topic on the podcast, I'll do it. Rick's not involved in it. You can play for free anyway.
It's a side hustle.
So I went on, and this was like literally 10 o'clock at night. I thought, we're going to go tomorrow. I'm going to go tomorrow and play golf at a random course. Scroll down, get going, think, got to Cardon Park.
So is this giving you golf courses that are closest to you?
Exactly.
And are you saying no to some because you've played them before?
Mixture of, I've played them before, didn't massively like get the juices flowing. Yeah. I don't know.
You might know they're a bit wet.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to go somewhere because I said to Abby, my wife, I'm going to have the day to myself, go and play golf. So I thought, well, I've got all day. Like, if we were going filming somewhere that was an hour and a half away, it doesn't seem that far, if that makes sense. But on your own to go and play golf, it does seem that far. But also, what, I've got all day.
Yep.
And also, what I said about playing on my own, I kind of weirdly, I could have asked a friend or whatever, but I wanted to go on my own. I don't know why. It was a bit of a weird, like, it's like this weird epiphany this night that happened to me. I don't know why. It was a bit weird. So I went down, got to Cardon Park. I thought, you know what? I've been there.
Just on that, you're on your own time.
Exactly.
Like, I've had a few days, I had a few kind of back end of the year where I've been, even yesterday, so mm-hmm. you were off yesterday, I went to Torrex and whacked a load of golf balls. I checked loads of emails. I spent pretty much the majority of my day on my own. Loved it.
It is nice, isn't it?
I like your own company sometimes.
100%. And obviously with my old job, I used to work away a lot. I used to spend a lot of time on my own. So I am fairly comfortable in my own company. So I booked this tea time at Cardon Park for, I think it was 9:30. I didn't realise at the time there's two courses.
Yes.
There's the Nicklaus, which is the more kind of, I feel like, the hotel, watery course. Yeah. And then there's the Cheshire, which is more kind of, certainly on the back nine, tree line. And I don't know if it's more interesting because I've never played the other one, but it felt like it was a, I don't know, decent track I needed to go and play. But an hour away from my house, so set off quite early. I was quite excited. Clubs were quite clean. I was kind of on the way. Got there. And what's mad, I've been there before, Cardon Park, but how long is the drive from coming off the road to getting to the golf resort?
Is the first club, is it really close to the entrance, though?
Yeah, that's the Nicklaus.
Yeah.
But you still have to tee off, I think, quite far away.
Ah, okay.
But the Cheshire course is literally like, no word of a mile and a half, probably drive, but obviously doing like 20 miles an hour with speed bumps, took forever. So I got to the clubhouse, and the girl in the pro shop said that the front nine, which I was obviously going to tee off on, I was following the men's comp.
Okay.
And it was Rizzy. So I could go off the 10th and do the back nine first and then come back to one. So I played, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I played the back nine first on my own. I flew round because obviously there's nobody out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did something I've never done before. It was quite interesting.
Go on. You hit driver on every hole.
I hit a lot of drivers. It was going quite well. But I had 177 yards on this par four second shot. What have you played there, the Cheshire course?
You know what? I used to actually go and see a golf coach there years ago.
Oh, really?
Called Adrian Hill. Because on the Cheshire course, right near the clubhouse, there was another little nine-holer, like a par three course. I'm not sure if it's still there.
I'm not sure.
And there used to be a golf academy there with a massive indoor putting green, an indoor bunker, indoor studios and everything. So weirdly, I've actually been to Cardon Park quite a few times, but never played either of the golf courses, the proper courses.
It's worth a trip. It's good. And so anyway, 177 yards uphill, hit a 7-iron. Ball was slightly below my feet, so in a little bit left, thinking it'll cut round. Absolutely flushed it, which I wasn't flushing it all day, but I flushed this shot, and it smacked the flag.
No way.
Never done that before. It literally clattered it, and it ended up a foot away. I missed the putt for a birdie.
Were you looking around to see if anyone had noticed?
Yeah, well, what I did do, this is quite sad, I'm not going to show you this. I hit the shot, and I started filming. I was like, right, I've just hit a shot.
Because you thought it might have gone
in. Yeah, obviously people could still say it was fake, but whatever. I was like, I hit a shot from 177 yards, I'm going to walk up to the green.
Yeah.
I was panting, that's how unfit I was, went up this hill, like panting like a dog. Got there, and it wasn't a foot away, actually, it was about 2.5 foot. It hit the flag, then weirdly still made a pitch mark. I missed the putt for a birdie.
Ouch.
Played, got down 18, which was my ninth, walking down to the green, and some lad was like, hiya, I'm in the clubhouse. I was like, oh, no way, mate. That was cool. And then got onto one, but then by the time I was on the real first, my 10th, I did get stuck behind people. So the back nine was much slower. It was quite wet, but I enjoyed it. Finished the round of golf, clubs in the boot. I thought, you know what, I'm going to go for a drink on my own. So I went to the clubhouse, had a pint of lemonade, enjoyed it.
Very nice.
Left, went home, and had a Mackey's on the way home at the services, at Chester Services and McDonald's.
What a day.
Really enjoyed it. So I've got the bug back. I like golf.
I must admit, I feel like last year, because you played with me a few times in the Break 75s, I think you did Rob Birtdale, Presbury, St Andrews, obviously, JCB. Is that all of them?
That was it. Those were the three, yeah.
I think it was four then. Stockport.
Oh, no, we didn't play Stockport.
Presbury, JCB, St Andrews, Birtdale.
Oh, yeah, four. So, yeah. Didn't think of that, yeah.
I feel like I, even just in that spell, I saw a different you, like, in your golfing journey.
Yeah.
I felt like you had your own epiphany in that time frame where you were like, you almost set your own benchmark.
Yes.
To suit yourself.
Yes.
Do you get what I mean?
I did.
Because obviously you grew up as a really good golfer. You were playing off three... What was the lowest you ever got?
The lowest
down
I got to was 2.6.
So in your head, that's what you play to.
Yeah.
Because you always play to how good you ever were. But obviously, when you're not playing a lot of golf and you've had a little, you know, few struggles with the driver, you're not expected to go around a Birtdale and shoot two over, three over. So I think your goal around Birtdale was to break 80, wasn't it?
Yes.
And you did comfortably and you played great. Again, around St Andrews, your goal was to...
Not make a double bogey was the goal at St Andrews.
In fact... That's where I've got it confused. You didn't play at St Andrews in the 75.
Yeah, played, that's right.
You played the day before, that's right. And you didn't play, you bogey was a par that day.
It was solid.
So even I saw that kind of change in your mindset, and you've talked about it on the podcast a little bit, making sure that people are going into this year with goals, ambitions of, I'm going to get my handicap super, super low this year. I'm going to practice every single day this year. You know, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
That would have been me when I was kind of a young up and coming, you know, I want to get better. But I think a lot of people could take a lot of what's the right word? A lot of important information from just going out this year and saying, you know what? All I'm going to do this year is enjoy every round of golf I play.
That's the
thing. Enjoy the experiences, enjoy the people I'm playing with, the surroundings I'm playing with. And Tommy even said it in that coaching video, as long as you can walk off the golf course, remember your three best shots, you've had a great day.
100%. And I think what's hard is, saying that, and I agree with everything you've said, but equally, if you go and pay to play another golf course you've never been to before, and you play terribly, it does make it hard to enjoy it. But what I really enjoyed about going to Cardon Park was I've never played the golf course before. I didn't have a scorecard in my hand either, literally not an actual physical scorecard. So when I was finishing a hole and going to the next tee, I had no idea what was in front of me. Is it a par five, a par three? Is the trees, is the water? And it was that weird, I had this weird, like, it sounds a bit deep, this weird feeling of like, just like absolutely almost, it was just class. It was just like, you didn't know what you were going to do. Hitting the odd good shot. I didn't care about score. Probably shot about 10 over, if I'm being honest with you. I didn't keep score. And I just really enjoyed it. It made me think, like, I don't want to lose that, because there's not many sports I can imagine what you get that feeling where you can play on your own, or you can go in a four ball and have just as much fun, if not more. And it was really good. So that's my goal this year, is just to try and play more golf. And I don't think I'm bothered about proper joining a club. Okay. I don't know.
You don't want to play in competitions, maybe?
I don't think so. It's just going and playing other courses.
Well, the thing is with competitions, it's a commitment.
Yes.
You'd have to do it on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Particularly morning, that's the time you spend with Abby and your family and you know, whatever you want to do on that day. And I think that's the only challenge that a lot of members have at golf clubs now, is how can they squeeze in a competitive round. Mm-hmm. It's quite hard, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's quite taxing on people's time. Did you play again?
I did something else as well, so I was quite clever with this. I thought, right, you were off last week, I was working. I fancy another game of golf, but I can't really play golf while I'm working. So I thought, well, if I text you, can ask him and say, look, I'm going thinking of content ideas and all sorts of content for the podcast.
Of course.
And I thought, on the off chance, imagine if I go and play somewhere and then somebody tweets me and says, saw you today at X, where was at Rick Shields PGA and you're there on holiday. So I thought, I'll just text you and say, look, Rick, I might go and play golf. Do you mind? You're like, oh, no, go for it. So I went to...
I'm a nice guy.
You are a very nice guy. Do you know where I went?
Not a clue.
Stockport.
No way.
Yeah, a DM to the head pro at Stockport is Gary Norcott, who's a great guy. I think he listens to the podcast as well. We've been there and filmed a few times. Yeah. He's a really nice guy. Chatted to
us
loads.
Such a good golf course.
And I love it. So I've never played it. So I texted him, I DM'd him the evening before to go. I've never played it.
I keep getting confused with like press play. Yes. Always kind of reminds
similar-ish
me of
Stockport.
Vibe. Yeah.
So I went to Stockport and I had a tee, I think it began about 9:30. But it was quite busy again. I was on my own, so I played the first two, and there was a four ball in front of me, but then a four ball in front of them. So I went 1, 2, 10, because the 10 tees right near, and then I did 10 in, and then a bit of chipping afterwards. And obviously, it was quite a frozen morning, so it wasn't obviously like it was when we went in the summer. But I really enjoyed it again. Of course, I've not played. I knew all the holes, so I've been there with you a couple of times, but I just really enjoyed myself. I had a little 40-minute drive there, listened to a podcast, played golf, had a chat with Gary when I'd finished, came home. I was like, bit of exercise and really enjoyed it. So that's the vibe this year.
And how many video ideas did you come up with?
6.
Great.
So the first video...
Okay, you said that straight.
First video is Rick Shields plays Stockport, how can he do? Then it's Rick Shields returns to Stockport part 2.
Can Rick Shields beat my par on the third hole?
Yes.
He didn't play the tenth hole.
The tenth hole. And the fourth one is Rick Shields versus Gary Norcott Stockport Pro. That's a three-parter, you see. It's part 1, part 2, and part 3.
And then when you win the chipping after,
yes,
can chipping. Rick... learn how to chip.
Exactly that.
I love it.
Speaking of video ideas and videos in general, though, we have had a very busy start to the year with new driver releases.
Yes.
We've had the TaylorMade Stealth.
Yeah.
And we've had the Callaway Rogue ST. Video's gone down well. Certainly the TaylorMade. So there's three things here I want to talk about and get your brain, pick your brains on. Any more, I'll put them all on the table then and we can go through them. First thing, is there anything you think you've not covered on the drivers? Not covered, but any more in-depth information for our listeners that obviously can't make it to the video?
Yeah.
Secondly, why has TaylorMade destroyed Callaway on views, like ridiculously?
Yeah.
And thirdly, a website, My Golf Spy, who are a very big online platform for reviewing golf equipment, have kind of called you out a little bit, Rick, which we're going to go on to in a moment. So... Ooh. Let's go on point number one.
Bit of beef.
There is some beef.
Bit of beef to start the year.
We like a bit of beef. Beef sells.
Right, so anything that I didn't cover?
I don't know if there is. I just didn't know we've got the time to go through anything.
I feel like this year, we collectively as a team, certainly you and me, really, really thought about how we would look at maybe adjusting a review, changing it. You know, we had a few times where we stood there ready to film and like, can we do this better? I feel like we did a really good job considering weather commitments and stuff like that we have obviously here in the UK. And I hit so many shots with TaylorMade and Callaway drivers this year.
You did.
Possibly more than I've hit in previous years.
I would 100% say that's the case for TaylorMade, for both, but definitely TaylorMade, which we might come on to in the next point.
So I feel like I knew those drivers inside out.
Mm-hmm.
I saw good numbers in carry, total distance, spin rate, launch. I saw less than normal numbers for ball speed, but I would also equate that to I was swinging it slightly less than normal speeds.
Yeah.
So I was even, what someone sent me a review saying, like 3 or 4 years ago, I can't remember what driver, Rick, this three or four year old driver was going longer than the Stealth that you reviewed this year. And when he took the screenshot, my swing speed was like 116 miles per hour on average. Yeah. What's happened to me? Getting old.
But you know what? That's a good point to make though, because speaking about running before, imagine if you watch a running reviewer, which happens on YouTube, reviews running shoes. And in 2015, they were running 7 times a week, loads of miles, and they reviewed a Nike footwear, a Nike trainer, and they ran a 5K in, let's just say, 20 minutes, just random figure. In 2021, they tested a new Adidas running shoe and ran the 5K in 25 minutes.
Yeah.
But they've only been running once a week because of injury or something. You can't say that the Adidas is worse than the Nike just because it's 5 minutes slower.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, if you, for whatever reason, if you've lost a bit of speed or you're not swinging as fast or whatever, that's not that the old driver was better and the new one's worse. It's that you've changed or whatever.
But to be honest, I was thinking about why is this as well. So I was thinking, yeah, obviously I've got a bit older. But also, the way I play golf, I think, is very different now compared to what it was 5 years ago. Like, you've obviously been with me a lot more this year. I do hit the ball a lot straighter.
Yeah, 100%.
Like a lot straighter this year.
You don't really have that low left, horrible out of bounds
at all.
As much at all.
And
yeah.
I think, well, maybe my swing speed has altered to allow me to hit more fairways.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've almost become set in this kind of fourth gear because I'm more accurate in that fourth gear.
Yeah.
Because I've been playing this year for a little bit more score with the break 75s or whatever it may be. So I definitely want to try and up that back into fifth gear. I'd love to get back into like 115, 160 miles per hour. As long as that doesn't affect my accuracy off the tee.
I saw a comment you made online that was quite bold.
I saw this comment again, and I very on Martin's video.
Yeah,
I know, and I regret it now
because it was outright. So
I know.
I would have saw that. And I thought. That's...
I know. So Martin, I can't pronounce his surname.
Broberg or something. The long drive guy.
He's really good friends with Bryson DeChambeau at the moment. German guy, bombs it, obviously. And I really like his content. He's been making loads of YouTube videos. And I was watching one of them and he's smashing it. He's hitting his. And these guys are getting comfortably like 210, 220 ball speeds, like ridiculous speeds.
Yeah.
I think Carl Berkshire recently set the new world.
230 something, was
it? Yeah, 234 or something
like
I think
that,
it was.
Which is outrageous.
Ball
outrageous.
Speed. So I was watching this video, getting all hyped, and I'm like, I'm going to leave a comment. I'm hyped about this. I'm going to leave a comment. Now, normally my ball speed's 160. I might get to 165 every now and again, but I'm never breaking 170. I've never seen 170 on a launch one to ever. On the, obviously, I must have had a glass of wine. I'm like, I love this video, Martin. My goal for this 2022 is to try and get 190 miles per hour ball speed. Send. And I must admit,
that's the tumbleweed going across.
Yesterday... Funny enough, I went to Torax again to whack some balls, went in that middle studio, just had a nice little chill out day to myself, checking emails, coming up with some video ideas, etc. And I'm smacking it. I did even more shots with the TaylorMade and Callaway drivers, just for my own sake.
187 ball speed.
And I'm there thinking, right, so currently, my fastest I got yesterday was 115 miles per hour clubhead speed.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's very good.
I did actually write it down. My fastest ball speed was 163 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that means I'm getting 1.42 smash factor.
Yeah.
Okay. Which on GC quad is about right. You don't, 1.52 is the absolute optimum.
Yeah.
But GC quad seems to measure it a little bit slower than that. So if I was to get 190 miles per hour ball speed,
I know what you're going
to
say, yeah.
I would have to swing the golf club 133.
Well, that is exactly the math. So when I saw you put that comment...
133 miles per hour.
Well, when I saw you put that comment, I thought that should I divided it. I did 190 divided by 1.45 smash, which again, if you're swinging fast, it's an outrageous smash, and that puts your cover speed at 131.
Yeah.
So when I saw that, I thought, do you realise you've got to gain 16, 17 miles an hour? Anyway, it's still ambitious. That's why we work well, because you have these outlandish dreams. I pull it back a little bit. We meet somewhere in the middle and we make some good stuff. It's good to dream, but that's good still to have these ambitions of getting. I think you could gain, realistically now, I think you could get to 122.
Yeah. I must admit, when I played with Tommy at JTB and on that 10th tee, when I absolutely smoked one, and when it just started, before it just started raining, after the par three, just before, I love that tee shot. I always hit a good one down there. And I hit one really good, and he kind of pulled one a little bit. It wasn't quite a fair comparison, but he was still 20 yards past me. And I was asking him there, like, what's your club head speed normally? He said, I cruise at about 120. I thought, I could cruise at 120.
Yeah.
Why not? See if I do. But it might be a little series this year. Who knows?
But this is, again, though, what I've had this discussion millions of times, but obviously, club head speed and ball speed and all this stuff is really important to hitting the ball further. We know that, obviously, and it's been proven by the likes of Bryson and stuff. But again, just speaking back to when I played at Stockport the other day, and I've not been hitting my driver very well, and it's a little bit better at the minute, which I'm so excited about. Hit this shot that was the best driver I've probably hit in a year, more, in fact, 2-3 years. And it was on hole 15, so the one before the par 3. You've got 16, goes back towards the clubhouse. Yeah. 15, quite a nice hole. It's a bit of a forward tee, because it was obviously like kind of winter tees. And there's a pylon in the background. And it always feels like weirdly, whenever there's a golf course with a pylon, the pylon's always the perfect thing to aim at. You know, in the distance, it's always like, oh, aim at that pylon or whatever, or that chimney over there. It's always a thing to aim at. So I thought to myself, I'm going to try
the church steeple.
Exactly. Like, there's always something.
Steeple. Steeple or staple?
Steeple, I think. Yeah.
The pointy bit.
Yeah, the bit that goes up in the sky. So I aimed at this thing. I thought, right, I'll aim a little bit. There's no trouble either way, which always helps me, because I think I can hit it a bit, commit to it more stupidly. I thought, I'm going to aim left of that and fade it and try and land it essentially what would be on that, I forgot what they're called now.
Pylon.
I basically did it, and I hit this what would be, for me, a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
It was honestly the perfect shot. The one that I've gone home remembering and keeping on to go and play golf again. But I've got no idea what that ball speed was or club head speed.
No.
And then I went to Trafford Golf Centre since then, and they've got obviously top tracer in every bay now, just hitting drivers. And standard, I'm just going off ball speed and just trying to hit it as hard as I can.
I need to tell you something about this in a minute.
Okay. And it just makes you think that, like, when you go to the range, it's so different. Like, that shot that you hit when you hit it straight, even if it's 155 ball speed, you're in the fairway, it's fairly long. I think you need to be careful chasing the numbers.
It's a complete vanity metric.
100%.
I get that. And I think all it is at the moment, growing up, going through college, when I first turned pro, when I first started making YouTube videos, I've never, ever worried. One part of my game I've never worried about is speed and distance, ever.
Yeah.
It's never something I've been concerned about. It's never something I've tried to hunt for. I've always kind of had speed and distance. Not the longest in the world, but long enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've never felt short. I just feel at the moment, right now, with everything going on in the golfing world, with what Bryson's doing, all these new long drive guys coming in, me getting a little bit older, starting to get closer to 40 than I'm 30, even having a little mess about with you when we go to the driving range or whatever it may be, I'm like, where's my speed? And that's my only thing now. I'm like, where's my speed gone? I just want to be able to have that in my locker.
But do they, again, that's it? Like social media, though.
100%.
If
not, why do I want a six-pack? Because I see it on bloody social media. Why
you've got an eight-pack to one Barrett.
Why do women want these amazing bodies? Because they see it on magazines or social media and all.
Maybe you could
be
a pioneer, though. There's a lot of trend now, which is quite good, how women post pictures with the belly a bit bloated or sat in a funny way. You can be that relatable guy. So you can be like, walking on the driving range, this young-looking lad absolutely tonking it. And then you can go, yeah, this is real life, a little like 97-mile-an-hour club head speed, Rick.
I just feel like
being short is
not
a problem.
I'm clinging on to my youth. I'm clinging on to that excited puppy that could smash it as hard as he wanted when he wants to, and I've not got that at the moment.
You know, pup. But what was the thing you were going to say then a minute ago? You said you.
So
gonna...
this was funny. So you went to Trafford Centre.
Yes.
On the 27th of December.
Yes. I don't know why.
Or the 28th.
Okay.
It's one of those 2 days, right? Saw it. You posted. You went early, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay. You posted on Instagram.
Oh, yes.
And you posted a picture of the leaderboard.
I was leading a long drive at 3:07.
That day, the kids were like, can we go out? Can we go out? I'm like, yeah, let's go out. I've got a plan. Okay. Put the kids' clubs in the car.
Yep.
Put my driver in the car.
With a 48-inch shaft.
Put my glove on. Altered the loft of my driver
to
de-loft it, put it in the car. Because I know at Trafford, to get a long one, you've got to hit it low.
Yeah, low descent
on top
angle.
Tracer, you've got to get it low. Put it in the car, right? So we went to Trafford. First port of call, mini golf.
Yeah.
Okay.
Loosen up, limber up.
18 holes, mini golf. Me and the three kids. Did you win? Loved it. Believe it or not, Jude lost my golf ball. So, 3 holes in. I can't remember which course we played. There's lots of water around there anyway. He finishes his hole, okay? Stupidly, as a 3-year-old does. Took his ball out the hole and hit it back towards the tee.
Right, okay? Nice.
Goes down the hill, over the tee, down the path, took a left, kicked off into one of the water hazards. Couldn't get it. So Jude's obviously crying. For God's sake. And we're like 3 holes in now. So I'm not going to walk back to main reception because it's a trek with the three kids. So I said, there you go. You can take my golf ball. Okay.
Kind of guy you are.
I'm a nice dad.
And you also take a Pro V1, don't you? It's a mini golf. So we're now using a Pro V1.
I didn't give him a putter.
Rick took a Scotty in a Pro V1.
Pro V1 with a line on it.
It's weird how, like, there's all the parents there waiting and Richard aim point on every green.
So, yeah, he pinched my ball. So
you
were sulking. I kind of potted around and tapped a few in when I needed to and whatever. Kept the speed of play up.
Marshalled.
So we finished that. So I was like, right, now we're going to the driving range, okay? Now the kids, to be honest, are loving the driving range at the moment. And they're in a really nice stage where they're loving getting the bucket of balls. By the way, people are waiting for this beef. Bucket of balls. They love putting the card in. They love seeing all the balls drop out. They love tipping the golf balls into the automated tee dispenser things, whatever they're called.
The only thing is, I think it all goes downhill from this part, though. Once they've hit a ball in the tees,
this is good.
Oh, they still keep going?
They're really good, right? So tipping the balls in. We've got top tracer set up. And there's no nice benches behind the seats now.
Yes, they're really nice.
So we got into this really nice pattern where each kid hit 5 golf balls and then they had to swap. So we were in one bay.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
So as soon as you start going in different bays, certainly at that age, it gets messy. So we're in one bay, 5 shots, the tee's popping up. I'm giving a little bit of instruction, but they were doing really well. Like they were just, so they, Ivy went, Pearl went, Jude went, I went, right? So I'm there just with drive.
Yeah, of course. Okay.
I'm thinking.
307 in mind.
Let me hit a few little looseners. The problem is we only got 80 balls.
Right.
Okay. There was 4 of us, 5 shots each.
So 20 balls each.
Yeah. It's not a lot, is it?
It's not. Well,
it's like 4 rounds of hitting. Okay. So I used my first 5 as a warm-up, as a taster.
Any good ones in there?
Didn't break 270.
No.
Okay.
Full, total?
Pretty much.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, oh, great Christ. Okay. First 5 shots. So the kids are going round. So I'm like desperate for them. Come on, hurry up. Yeah, I want to get my 5 in. So then I thought, I've got a gamble here now. Because as soon as I scan my account,
yes.
So as soon as I log
people
in,
are gonna see Rick Shields PGA.
As soon as I log in, I've got to commit to this.
Yeah.
So if I log in right now and my best is 280, that's going
there.
Up on the leaderboard.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And you're at 307. You're up there. I can see your name in lights.
Yeah, it was in lights.
So I'm thinking,
and all these hot chicks got to me when I was looking out. Oh my god, 307! Well, they're all American, weirdly. These chicks,
cheerleaders coming up. Go, guy. So. Next 5 shots, again, little taster.
Yeah.
Started to see a promise, but not enough, okay? Couldn't break 300. So I'm thinking, oh, God's sake. So another round with the kids. So now I'm taking a gamble, thinking, do I do it or do I not? I didn't commit.
Okay,
so
what did you get, long?
Nothing. I'm glad. It was the right decision.
So on the longest out of us two here so far, this year?
Out of the 20 shots that I hit.
I only had 40 balls. Maybe. No, I had 40 balls. A lot of them were warm-ups, so thank you very much.
The only other thing that I did, annoyingly, I snapped the tee.
Did you? That's the power of that.
It is.
But you know the problem, though, you've just hit the nail on the head with signing in to Top Tracer. I went again the other day, and the other evening, was it a night or a day? I can't remember. I hit some more balls, and I was signed in, and I hit, weirdly, my longest game was 307, which was bizarre. I didn't think anything of the leaderboard. And then somebody put a post in our Facebook group, that, I don't know if you saw this, that they'd seen me at the range. They didn't say anything to me. They saw me at the range, and then thought, right, guys, hit a good one. I'll try and beat him. And they got, like, 320. So they destroyed me. But I think with Top Tracer, wind is a big factor, I guess, isn't it? So if you get a little bit of wind and even maybe dropping a real ball every now and again, you can get some big ones.
By the way, we love Top Tracer.
We love Top Tracer. Really enjoy
Top
Tracer.
Just want to put that out there.
I also love Trafford Golf Centre. So if they want to give me some free balls as a ball card.
Do you not get them anywhere?
No.
Oh, ouch.
You do, don't you?
Oh, I've got black card.
Yeah, Nando's black card. Whenever you look at the red card, gets rolled out. I'm there paying £6.
I don't queue, I'm just straight in.
I'll tell you what though, jokes aside, actually just on Top Tracer there for a second, we were speaking to Pete Styles, who's our director of golf at Trafford a while ago, about the kind of the importance almost now of this kind of tracking your golf shots at the range. And I must admit, I do prefer going to a range now. We can actually see data. How much more fun does it make hitting shots?
I think I saw as well, there's been a price change. Yes, there has. A lot of ads here at the moment, but it's not an ad.
Need to get paid.
And Top Tracer in. Yes. Like so you get Top Tracer now included.
So basically, I think it works out better for your actual golfer, if that makes sense. If you're an actual golfer who wants Top Tracer, it works out better value. Anyway, we've got beef to cover.
Have we covered everything with what you asked me? I can't remember the first two questions.
The first question was...
Oh, the review.
Oh, yeah, the reviews, the numbers difference. That's a good point.
So, yeah, drivers-wise, I've hit loads more, and everything that I've saw from the review is what I saw again yesterday.
Do the numbers currently on the reviews, then?
Oh, the actual views numbers,
So the actual views. So, the Callaway video came out on the 4th of January at 8 a.m. And as we sit here now, it's had 399,591 views. So we'll call that 400,000. It's 400 short. 400,000. 4 hours later at 12 p.m. lunchtime on the 4th, the TaylorMade Stealth Driver came out. And that is sitting on 940,000 views. So literally more than double. Why?
I honestly don't believe I've known a driver that has ever had, I was going to say even in the last 10 years, almost ever, that's had as much hype around the Stealth.
The only one I would possibly think of in fairly recent history, but it was before the internet, certainly well before YouTube, would be with the R7 potentially. But even in modern times,
I really feel like the Stealth had an unbelievable amount of interest about the driver. Why? For a number of reasons, I think.
You've got
a red-faced, carbon-faced driver.
Yes.
Like, that straight away is a really interesting talking
point. The Reds
point.
Killed it.
The Red Fed. That must have been a gamble on their part. Yeah. Because they must be thinking, this is going to be quite polarizing.
Yeah.
But as soon as you see something that's so visible, so iconic, and it's carbon, it's like, what the hell is this?
It's different.
It's so different. So you had that.
Yes.
You had the fact that they had the perfect storm in December.
Yes.
Tiger Woods, out of pretty much nowhere, announces his potential return to golf.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally out of nowhere. He played in the PNC with Charlie Woods, which, did you see the viewing figures? The PNC last year, certainly in America, had more viewing figures than the Open Championship in 2021.
It's outrageous. It kind of upsets me in a way, but it's fair.
How mad is that?
Yeah.
So Tiger playing with Charlie Woods at the PNC, the dads and the fun competition. Yeah. Tiger pops the Stealth in the bag. Like, for TaylorMade, that must have been thinking, well, if we're going to launch it, there's nobody better in the world to launch it.
Perfect.
So he puts it in the bag. He then goes and plays pretty well, nearly wins the thing.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that would have made it better, Charlie Woods would have had one in the bag too.
Yeah.
If they're looking back at
was
it.
Was he Sim 2?
He was Sim 2. Yeah. So they had this perfect storm. Tiger's using it. They've got this mystery around the red face. It's very eye-catching. And then the rollout back into the 4th of Jan, I don't believe I've ever seen a company nail the marketing as well as TaylorMade did on the Stealth.
Oh, it was perfect.
All the content around it, the teaser clips, the main clips they released on the day. I must admit, obviously, we had it for review. I don't think I've ever seen as many reviews of a driver. Like, they seem to get it into a lot of reviewers' hands.
Yeah.
A lot of influencers' hands. I've seen even now this last week, they've continued this. They've now shipping out these really nice presentation boxes to like Eric Anders Lang, for example.
I think you've got one, but we probably won't do anything with it.
So it's like a Seamus head cover, and it comes with the red paint, apparently. That's a pot of red paint, because all this is about start line and all this. Bollocks. So in general, they absolutely nailed it. On the flip side, Callaway was really quiet this year.
Callaway was very poor, let's be honest. I know, we were due to go to a Top Tracer event in January in Vegas, which people might be wondering why we're not there. That got cancelled because of COVID. And obviously Callaway were going to be there as well, launching the driver. And that got cancelled as well. So I think part of the content plan was to utilise the week in Vegas. So that didn't happen. But still, they probably could have had some more stuff in the locker to help promote the driver.
I think the other big thing as well, there wasn't that much different this year. It's a name that people have heard before.
Yeah.
Callaway Rogue. Subconsciously, I've heard that already before. So, why is that new? It wasn't massively eye-catching. It's a lovely-looking driver. I've said this in the review. It's lovely. I actually really like it. But it's not that different to anything else.
Yeah.
It's not visibly technology difference. And people love this visible technology. You know, TaylorMade had that massive thing with the twist face, speed injection twist face. That, again, was visible technology. When they had the carbon crown on, like, the M1, M2, that's visible technology. I don't feel like Callaway always does that. They have the gel break, but it's hidden behind the face.
And I think as well, there's two kind of, well, there's obviously several different ways of bringing the product to market, but there's two for me. There's really two key ways that when a new product comes out, they're either kind of absolutely revolutionary, or certainly in the marketing eyes, revolutionary, i.e. stealth over Sim 2. TaylorMade will tell you till the cows come home how different it is, how groundbreaking it is. That's one kind of story. The other kind of story is more the kind of evolution. But if brands do that right, that can actually get as much excitement sometimes. For example, we know now very soon, even probably this week, the Titleist SM9 Vokies are coming out, which obviously replaced the SM8, which replaced the SM7, and keep going with that. You know, Pro V1 every 2 years comes out and the name doesn't change. Again, Titleist have like the T100 Irons, which they've now built a franchise of, will get replaced. Ping, kind of similar-ish with the G range, will get replaced. When it's a brand, and you see it in like, certainly in iPhone, just the number changes, or in cameras, the Sony Mark 1, Mark 2. When a brand does that and does it well, that can gain as much excitement because people know with Vokey, you're going to get a good wedge.
Yes.
And they almost kind of have this feeling that they're not going to change them just for the sake of it. They will be every couple of years, but they'll be a little bit different, but they're still going to be very good. When a brand, like again, like TaylorMade does, brings out an all singing, all dancing name and story, that again creates excitement. I think Callaway tried to do both. They kind of go 1 year, they go, this is the new da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And this year it's just like, oh, this is a small kind of change. You kind of get a bit lost as a consumer. Yeah. Well, should I get excited about this? Is it just a tweak? What is it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think for Callaway, the brand that they are, they have to every year, like TaylorMade try and do, is bring something out that is very different.
Yeah.
Because even with Sim 2, that was kind of like not as much excitement as like, oh, you've just done Sim again.
Yeah.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
But even like just word on the street, like, again, I bumped into a couple of guys at Torex yesterday. Have a guess what a driver they're asking me about? Stealth.
Yeah.
Like, that's all they're asking me about. They're not asking me about Callaway driver. Like I say, it's a bit of a marketing ploy. I think they nailed it this year. The viewing figures obviously saw that. I'm so glad everyone enjoyed our review. It's honest, it's truthful, it's factual, it's everything that we've done for the last 8 years of reviewing products.
Well, that's what I'm going to come on to next. But what's interesting as well, though, is like at the moment, and certainly in the world we live in, we can only go off views, likes, comments, interest. Number three trending on YouTube. What will be interesting, though, is because it's kind of, you know, YouTube views and excitement's one thing, is actually, let's give it, they both launched, I think, in February. Let's maybe come back to this conversation in July when they've actually had a couple of months of being out on the shelves and see how well they're selling, because sometimes you can be fooled by social media to some degree. And who knows, people may go into the shop for a stealth, try it and not be impressed. I'm not saying they will be, and then go, let's try that Callaway, and then absolutely love it.
Yeah.
So maybe pound notes will tell a real story. But speaking of your review, and you know how good it was, how well it went down, and how much effort we put into it, there's obviously a website.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, called My Golf Spy. And this is probably a shorter clip on YouTube as well for those who want to dip in. My Golf Spy are an independent website. They've got, well, kind of everything out there, really. Website, social media yeah. platform, YouTube channel, podcast. And do a very good job from what I've often been on there. There's kind of those guys, there's Golf WRX as well, who are the two that you kind of think of. And what was really interesting is they have a lot of a big audience, and their audience probably differs from ours a little bit in the sense that they're much more the hardcore golfer
yeah.
and the hardcore kind of equipment enthusiast as well, who want to see clubs weeks and months before they come out and know every detail and know really the kind of intricate facts. Whereas our audience, we have some of those, which is great, but we have a much bigger audience that are your casuals, just want a quick dip in and out, get the top line figures. What was interesting then was My Golf Spy, they have a forum that's very busy, very active, and they also have obviously website articles. Below their website articles, people can comment if they're signed into an account. And sometimes My Golf Spy will respond to comments.
Okay.
Within this article about stealth, there was a comment from a random viewer, reader, whatever, who mentioned that in your review, didn't see much difference
yeah.
from stealth over Sim 2, whereas they were saying how they found massive ball speed gains across their whole team. What was interesting then was My Golf Spy replied to said comment as the My Golf Spy account. So obviously okay. I have several staff, so I'm not sure who it was who wrote that comment, but it came under the My Golf Spy brand. Anyway, gets the comment. Okay. They said, when you get the size of a Rick Shields, I think you have a responsibility to do it right and be better. It's really unfortunate that someone hitting 5 or 10 shots in the driver can impact a company that has been working 20 years to develop. Then it goes on to say, we have been testing golf equipment for over a decade now, and we understand and respect the responsibility to do it right for the consumer. After 10 plus years of testing, what I can tell you is that the majority of these products that get released have to use words and marketing to make their products sound good. The reality, though, is something close to the fact they are less than good. They are average at best and really are much better than the product they told you to buy last year, which is also the best. When it comes to stealth, what I can tell you is that I have never seen a single product in the driver category produce ball speed and personal records for every staff member at My Golf Spy that tested the product. That is a first. Will it be better for everyone? Maybe not. But we need to give kudos or something when it actually deserves it. And then it's a couple more lines, but not massively much else that adds to what I've just said. So, Rick, you've hit 5 or 10 shots with a driver. What do you think about that?
Well, that, first off, is
yeah.
because I've hit a lot more than 5 to 10
shots. Can we just get bleeped out, Matt? That's
yeah, that's quite insulting, actually.
It is.
That's actually a really insulting comment. I feel like there's been that disrespectful, to be honest. I feel like that comment, the way that they've disregarded my review by saying I've only hit 5 to 10 shots. So we'll cover that in a minute because yep. you obviously know the truth behind that. I find it very interesting that they seem to, I'm not questioning this, but seem to categorically say that every single team member has picked up ball speed. Mm-hmm. That's bold.
Mm.
That's very bold.
And is that ball speed on every shot or on good hits or miss hits? What is that they've gained yeah. ball speed? Mean just overall or what? How does that look?
And is that comparable to the driver that they've currently yeah. using? So they can't question my authenticity or diligence if they're not actually going to show that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that's bold. I didn't pick up ball speed. When I tested it against Sim 2, I did not pick up ball speed. You saw it in the video. Let's rewind back to the what was the date? About the 10th of December.
Yes.
We went down to TaylorMade HQ.
We did.
And over from America, the chief driver engineer
yeah.
and the chief iron engineer flew over to America to present the product to me and Guy. With the intention of telling us all about the information of the golf equipment and the very same day fitting us for the product at North Hants, where Justin Rose kind of grew up playing golf on the driving range there. And I've been to many, 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 many of these presentations, as you have.
Yeah.
And they're all certainly tailor-made, very, very hyped presentations. The videos that you watch are just out of this world, and you think, oh my God, this has to be the best club in the world.
You do.
But I've become a bit more switched on now to go, okay, I've seen this year after year, year after year, year after year. I know that this is just a hype video.
Yeah.
The truth is going to be when I start hitting this product. So I went to North Hants, and we probably got there at around about 10:30, 11:00.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact timings now, but before lunch, maybe 11, yeah.
So on the driving range there, they had this big kind of bubble driving range, this very kind of secretive hub on the driving range set up. And in there, they'd arranged for one of their best club fitters in the country, who's from the Wirral.
He's a really nice guy, actually. Name's up my mind right now, but it's...
I feel like it's Mickey or... Anyway, he came down from the Wirral and he was there. He was the chief fitter for the session, okay? So started off hitting some irons, hitting some three woods, getting loose and this, that and the other. Now, one of the things that I never, ever do in these scenarios, because I've seen it before in the past and I absolutely hate it, they always say, bring your gamer.
Yes.
Which I hate that term anyway. But bring your gamer. Bring the driver that you've currently got. But that's not what I'm there for, because it just becomes a dick measuring competition.
Yeah, well, all they want to do then is you hit some with your drive, which at the moment is a Ping G425 Max, so that's kind of irrelevant. You will hit 5 or 10 with that while you're loosening up, and you might get a best one of 163 ball speed.
Yeah.
As long as they then get one with their driver that gets 163.1.
After
one,
X amount of shots.
They've beat yours.
I just don't like it. It's not a nice scenario. I've done it. I've made the mistake with brands before. I had an awful experience with this at Titleist once.
They're much better now, though, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, because I'm a lot more...
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a lot more switched on with it.
But surely, to some degree, if you're a customer paying for a product, then your current driver is important because they want to see your shot patterns. And also, it sounds bad. A lot of golfers overestimate how far they hit it. We all do. I probably do it as well. So you say, yeah, you know, I normally hit my own driver 300 yards. If you've not got your own driver with you then... And then you start hitting their one 290. Yeah. Well, I've lost 10. In reality, your own might go 270.
But I know my numbers.
You know your numbers. And also, this isn't the point. You're getting fitted the best spec for you from TaylorMade Stealth's 2022 lineup.
Yeah.
Your current driver in that instance is borderline irrelevant. Well, it is, because it's... Forget that.
Because I'm not...
Who do you play golf with?
And I'm currently not after distance with that driver. I know it's not the longest driver I could be using. I know it's not going to give me the fastest ball
speed.
It's
the max version for a start. It's not an LS Tech.
But I know it's hitting me fairways. Yeah, that's why I'm using it currently. So anyway... I didn't take that, and I never do 20 fittings. So started hitting. I think I actually started hitting Stealth Sim 2 first. Maybe to warm up.
Okay, I think you did actually. Yeah.
They had a Sim 2 there, and I was hitting the Sim 2, and I was collecting some numbers. And they had their Trapman, and I had my GC Quad, but didn't actually set it up at first. So I was hitting the driver shots, and at this point, I'm just taking in the information. This is my first hit of a product. I don't often show this in a video because it can sometimes come across as it's almost too brandy.
Well, first of all, you're in a tent that's got TaylorMade logos everywhere. And it's not really that for me. It's not massively content. It's getting hit in a shot and going, that's not the right club, or them telling you it's not the right shaft. It's not really that exciting to watch.
And it's, like the main reason, like I say, it's too TaylorMade. Yeah. I like to do things in my own time, on my own space, in my own setting with my own team. That's where I'm comfortable. As soon as I'm in this setting, it's like, it's not a particularly comfortable setting for me either.
And also as well, we you know, you want to make the best videos you can, the most honest reviews you can, which we believe you do. And even with that mindset, we do this, but it's quite difficult to turn around to somebody and say, it's not very good when the guy that's designed the driver is stood there.
I mean,
you did, but it's hard. Then you shove a camera in yours and his face. It can get a little bit. These guys, naturally, they're very good at their jobs. They're so passionate about the product. It's easy to do that away from them when we've had time. And also, we need time to think about what we want to say and articulate it in hopefully the best way.
So, I'm trying to think of. So, then I started hitting Stealth, Stealth Plus, Stealth Normal. They were fitting me, and the guy did a nice job fitting. I'm always a little bit concerned about fittings because sometimes I'm hitting a driver really nice, I'm loving it, and they're taking it away and putting a different shaft in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, give me that back. I like that. Don't change it. Don't tweak it. So I was quite strict with that as well. I was in this bubble thing and I was hitting off a mat and I didn't particularly like the mat. So I went out onto the grass at the front of the bay and they had all TP5s there. Again, not my normal golf ball, but TP5s, TrackMan. And then I sat on my GC quad as well because I thought I just need to get my own numbers here as well, just so I've got some clarity. Realistically, how many golf balls do you think I hit?
Well, I was stood there freezing. I don't want to say stew them now. I want to think properly.
Well, they had that bag of balls.
Yeah.
The shag bag.
I would say, you might disagree on this, in the region of 150.
Yeah, I would say that. I was going to say about 120.
Yeah.
So to the point where I'd hit all the golf balls in the bag, they had to go and get extra golf balls.
Yeah, it was a good couple of hours. And it was hitting a few, then it might be a minute, hitting it, but it was a lot of golf balls.
And the reason being, because I was questioning what I was seeing from the product. I wasn't quite seeing from the product what I expected to see, comparing it to Sim 2, comparing it to Stealth, doing a direct comparison there and then, and asking them the questions, why am I not seeing more ball speed right now?
Well, they ended up coming up with the conclusion, which is quite strange, that the golf balls you were hitting, which were their golf balls, their TP5, which the night before they were claiming is longer than Titleist Pro V1, were cold and that they'd been left in the cold under this tent overnight. And because they were cold, they weren't going very far, which was a bit strange when you're fitting somebody. Anyway, we then obviously took the drivers, well, got sent the drivers in the specs that you got fitted for. And then you did a lot more testing, which again, some is on camera, some isn't on camera. I would say the audience have probably seen 10% of what
you've
actually hit.
I was literally going to say 10%, yeah.
So
in the video, I mean, even less, I don't know actually. Because even when I go Tour X and I was hitting all those drivers, we're in that room for a couple of hours.
You don't see
drivers.
All the shots.
Like, there's no point in seeing all the shots.
But what I kind of come back to with the comment from My Golf Spy, and they can criticise what we do, what you do, what you say, as much as they want, and they're very intelligent people, so I'm not questioning their kind of the way they do things at all, really. But what I am questioning is, how would they say we hit 5 to 10 shots? Because even on the video, you hit well more than 5 or 10 shots, obviously. But surely they know from kind of content creation, the experiments they do, that the actual product you show the consumer, which might be a 10-minute video, 20-minute video, so much goes into that. Even the editing process can take days. Like, they obviously know you've not hit 5 or 10. So why are they using that as kind of a low blow suggest?
And this is where I think it differs. I massively respect their testing process.
Yeah.
And again, this goes back to this point, and I think there is a bit of a divide between this. I still think it's my own review where they do a test, a very, very big test with lots and lots of different golfers of different abilities to come up with their actual summary.
Yeah.
Typically. But yeah, to go back to the point of hitting only 5 or 6 shots, that's absolute horse.
I think an element of this does come from like a jealousy thing. The fact that these guys and other people spend so long on, like we do, as you just said, creating a review for a product, and then we put ours out that gets 900,000 views, which they can't compete with.
I think another thing I do want to, possibly. The other thing I want to touch on that is this idea that they're saying TaylorMade have been working on this for 20 years. Okay, well, that's fine. It should still work for me first shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It should still work for me in 5 shots.
Yeah.
If that's their defense. Like, if this new product...
Yeah, at what point does it start to work?
Yeah. Yeah. If this new product is so revolutionary that they're claiming it is, that they're fine if that's what they believe. If they believe it's so unbelievably revolutionary, that the fact... Why should it take more than 5 shots for me to figure that out?
We only have 1 shot on the first tee, don't we?
Of course you do. So maybe in future we should only hit 5 shots in a review.
Yeah.
Because, like I say, that is... You need more than that, realistically, to figure out the weight of the driver and the feel of it and whatever else. But if it's that good, it should work straight out the box.
I think what really opened my eyes as well is when you were hitting shots, and obviously I think you had a couple of minutes where you kind of had a breather because you were hitting so many shots, and that's right to do. You don't want to be putting lazy swings in it. One of the guys said to me, oh, you have a shot guy. Now, bear in mind, I've been stood there freezing for 45 minutes at this point. Longer, in fact, this was over an hour at this point. So I put your glove on and I hit 3 shots. Now, as I just said earlier, when I've got a little bit more comfortable with a driver, but at this point, this was only a month or so ago, but I was so hating it in a driver. I felt so unnatural over the golf ball. But I hit 3, I don't know if you remember this.
I do.
The first one I hit was straight but thin. The kind of shot that on the course you would take on the first tee, but not pretty, but
it worked. Didn't blow you away.
Exactly. But it wasn't the driver. That was just me. It was a bad shot, but it would have hit a fairway. Would have been, okay, let's move on and let's hit the next shot. My second shot with it was a massive 50-yard block, which I can do, obviously. And the third and final shot was a massive snap-up left because of my early extension in my golf swing. So I can hit those three shots, straight, right, or left. It's horrible. Don't know when I'm going to hit it when I stand on the tee. But now I'm not for 1 second blaming that driver. Of course I'm not. It wasn't probably in the exact right spec for me. It was my first three swings today. I was feeling horrible. I had loads of layers on. Exactly. But, you know, really kind of like off swings. But what it does show you, though, is it still is you. In that instance, I hit three shots. Two would have been out of bounds. No matter if that driver is the brand new one that's took 20 years to make, whatever, it still does come down to you. And I know, again, you said this in the reviews, but no golf club, no matter how good the market is, no golf club is a magic wand. You've still got to put good swings in it.
Of course you do.
And it seems like people sometimes aren't happy either way. If you test a product and rave about it, that's not good. And if you test a product and say it's not as good as people say, that's not good. But we've got no reason to say product's not great if it is. If anything, it makes it better for us. If that driver gained you 20 yards, that would have been an amazing video. Like a better video, more views.
I think, again, what maybe other... I don't want to say that because that's not fair. I think I'll talk from my point. What I've become so much more unbelievably more comfortable with right now is I know what I say on video that comes out of my mouth is what I found. Mm-hmm. And what I found, what effect that's going to have on the world of TaylorMade, it's not my issue. Yeah. Like, that's not my issue. If they decide, or any brand decides not to send me products because they don't like what I do, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll go and buy it a month later and review it exactly the same way. They're going to get the same video. It'll just be a month later.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's frustrating me, that article or that reply, shall I say, and I'd love to know who it's from. And if someone from My Golf Spy would like to send me an email and explain what that means, I'd love to hear that and we can share it on the podcast for next week. Mm-hmm. I think your silence wouldn't particularly be great. And if you came out here fighting, it'd be interesting to know what you're going to be fighting about. But let's see.
Yeah. Basically, you didn't gain anything. You gained nothing.
I didn't gain anything.
Wow. Well,
I know.
Another quick little, this is funny though, because again, there was, whenever TaylorMade bring out a driver in particular, as we said earlier on, it gains loads of eyeballs, excitement, negativity, just general chat. And I suppose you can't have all excitement without having some level of negativity. So it's kind of essential, it's part of it. But what makes me laugh is people who have this perception that it's almost a bad thing to want a new driver, because although we've just said then there's no real difference, that's fine, but you can still want it if you're a massive TaylorMade fan, you're a massive Tiger fan, or it's your birthday and you want to treat yourself to a new driver and you just want the latest. Sometimes you know there's not much difference, but you want the latest, that's fine. But what you see a lot is people commenting saying, no way I'm going to get sucked into buying that driver, it's no better than last year's, I'm going to go and buy a Sim 2 now at reduced price. Now, in theory, that comment makes sense because, okay, yeah, there is no difference. So why would you not go and buy a Sim 2 for cheaper? Yeah. But that same person was saying the same thing last year and the year before.
Yeah.
So why buy a Sim 2? Why not go and buy the M5? Because when the M5 to the next driver, which was the Sim, wasn't it? You said there was no difference. And then to the Sim to the Sim 2, the same person said there's no difference. And then from the Sim 2 to the Celtic, there's no difference. So why not go and buy an M5 for £100?
Exactly.
Why spending £350 on a Sim 2?
And again, this is, I understand why people do it again. Comments go, I'm not good, that's bloody ridiculous, this bloody carbon face, and it's so expensive and all this. I would never use one of them. I bet bottom dollar they would have probably entered the giveaway that I did for the £2 million.
I know.
Just because they want to, they secretly want it. It's just that people can't always justify
if they
want to spend that much money on it.
Like, I don't care that my car is new. Well, it's new to me. I got it a year ago and it was like 4 years old when I got it, so it's not a new car. But there's obviously newer versions of that car come out, but I'm not that offended or bothered because I'm not that into cars. But I think as golfers, we kind of like to have the latest gear.
Of course.
If you claim it, and you don't need it, obviously we've done loads of videos on that, but people kind of who are into the golf do quite like having the latest gear, and it also hurts when new stuff comes out. And an example, again, going back to Vokey, I've got the SM8s, only had them 6 months or so, love them to bits, the grooves are still perfect, the grips are perfect, don't need to replace them. I am a little bit like, not upset, but like a little bit, that the SM9s are coming out because mine will technically be a model old, which is ridiculous. I would never get the SM9s, don't need them. But do you know what I mean? I feel like that, so I do get that. But anyway.
What question, I know Kat Taylor-Made said this in the presentation. Do you think they're really going to stick with carbon face now for the foreseeable?
Well, it's a weird one, isn't it? I imagine they probably will, but does that not prove that it's actually not that much different if it's so easy to swap?
Yeah.
But then why the furry wood's not carbon fibre?
Yet.
No, well, exactly. Everything's the carbon wood era. If you've taken 20 years, surely you could have launched the furways at the same time.
Yeah.
It's the same old, isn't it? It starts to think it's a bit predictable in golf. Brand brings out key hero technology in the driver. Not in the three wood this year.
Yeah.
Next year, it will be.
Should we do the C4 versus stealth?
That'd be good.
Carbon versus carbon. Yeah. 20 years apart.
Yeah, let's do it. Do you want a couple of Facebook questions to wrap it up? It's been a good episode so far. Just firstly as well, I know we said kind of at the start, but big Happy New Year to everyone in the clubhouse. Because the people that listen
to the people in the clubhouse.
Yes. And we've still had a few comments people on the group, on our Facebook group, which is the Rick Shields Golf Show, asking what is the clubhouse? It's a simple format, Rick, simple concept. If you've listened to every episode of the Rick Shields Golf Show, you are in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
It's a great place, the clubhouse, isn't it?
The best.
It's comfortable. It's always a really nice temperature.
Perfect.
Like, it's not, you know, when you go into a room and you're not warm, you're not cold, you don't even think about the temperature doesn't become a thing.
And weirdly, it adjusts to each individual.
It does.
So if you want to wear a hoodie, it's fine for you. If you want to just have a t-shirt on, yeah, absolutely fine.
What? Sometimes you wear no clothes at all.
No, clothing is
well, that time I walked mandatory. In, you had no clothes on.
Oh, I know, but we don't talk
and
about
and stealth in one hand
I thought
and
I thought I was on my own. We're the first people to ever open the clubhouse.
Why am I so short? What are you going to want, Rick? I want more length. I kept screaming at the top of his voice.
Looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
Naked.
So, got a few questions off Facebook. Next week, obviously, we're going to be back again to our usual... Features. So we've got obviously like Nightmare Golf Shots that I've done for a while. The Dear Rick, which is a big feature. You can ask Rick a question. I think redemption. Your mind's in a good place now. Yeah, and the redemption as well. So if you've done some,
mind's in a good place.
Yeah, because like you've had your Christmas holiday, you're back on it. You're back going to be in the gym. You're going
to
be really mentally.
Wait to get back today, to be honest.
Yeah, you're going to be gaining speed, gaining distance on it. Yeah, and then the what was that? I've forgotten. Forgive or I think you forgot. This is what 2 weeks off does to you. Yeah, forgive or condemn, where people can write in they've done something wrong. So get those in at podcast@rickshields.com.
We'll get one from my golf spy.
You know what's an issue as well, actually? How many people spell your name incorrectly?
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
So yesterday I bought a pair of jeans, which you know about. I've got some new Levi's jeans. Don't want to flex too much, but I fancied a new pair of jeans. A little bit of a baggier cut than normal. I'm sick of the real skinny jeans. And I went into Levi's and they send, if you join the whatever club, you get a £5 off. I thought, I'm not made of money, I'll save five. I've got to go to a stealth driver. And they asked for my email address. Now, I gave a work email just because it is a bit easier to... My other one's nonsense. Anyway, she spelt Shields wrong. So I had to correct her, even though I'd already told her how to spell it. It made me think, I bet a lot of people send their emails to the wrong email address.
Oh, yeah?
So it's podcast@rick, which you can't get too far wrong.
Well, you can. It's R-I-C-K.
Yeah, R-I-C-K. S-H-I-E-L-S.com. It's not... .co.uk, it's not .net, it's not .org, it's .com. Also, you can reach out to us via the Facebook group as well, which is 70,000 members, who seems to get a lot of hole-in-ones. Considering the odds of a hole-in-one, like one in a billion or whatever it's meant to be.
It's not one in a billion. Like,
it's like one in a lot. It's
one more than
one
in a lot.
one in a lot. But there's always hole-in-one, which is great. There's also, what I really liked, I think this same guy tweeted you as well, but he put it in the group. He had his first birdie.
Yeah, it's good that.
That was really wholesome. I think that's something that, but also what I love almost more than seeing people put that in is the reaction it gets. Because sometimes I'll see that and think that's awesome and I'll accept it into the group. And then maybe a few hours later I think, I hope that's done okay and they've had no kind of weird negativity.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't, this is getting so many likes and comments and it must be really kind of, what's the word? Like confidence building almost. So it's good.
He's achieved something I've not achieved this year.
Birdie.
Yeah.
I've lost a few golf balls already this year. Anyway.
You must have made a birdie already.
Yeah,
I made a birdie. Golf playing.
Yeah, I made a birdie. Yeah. Hit some long drives, middle to birdies. So we've had some questions on the Facebook group as well. I've got four good ones. So this is from Matthew. He said, why do you think that Wilson is not the whole household name in golf that it used to be? Is it because they cater for the higher handicappers or they just won't shell out money for bigger names? Now, obviously you've done that video you did the thing with Wilson a number of years ago, which was, well, you worked for the Golf Channel on a Wilson kind of show. But just before, actually, we get onto that, obviously, I've been playing golf kind of the same time as you, so about 96, 97, I started. Been a number of brands like Wilson who were absolute the market leaders.
Correct.
To not, and I'm going to reel some off now. You might have some that I've not mentioned, but I'm going to reel some off. Lynx.
Yeah.
Wilson. Maxfly.
Yeah.
Hippo. Dunlop. Now, maybe the Hippo and Dunlop weren't as big, but they were decent brands.
Hippo was popular.
Yeah. Strata for the golf balls, McGregor, Slazenger. Now they were a Sports Direct brand. Now, but Slazenger was a real deal back in the day, maybe more 80s, 70s. Yeah, Howson, Tommy Armour, and Spalding,
Adams, was a big one. Mizuno Drivers,
Mizuno Drivers
big in the
was
day.
A big one.
I know they still make them, but they were big in the day.
So it's weird how the world, but people are going to watch this or listening or whatever, comment below if you've got any more brands that were kind of really big 10, well, 20 years ago, maybe even more.
It'd be interesting if you properly looked at if there's any patterns that emerged with all of those brands.
Things have done kind of wrong or they've changed.
Well, they're quite different, some of them, but let's take, for example, Wilson. Obviously, that was the question. I think back in the day, if I'm not mistaken, I'd still believe Wilson have the most major wins using their irons.
I feel like they do, because it was a lot of the opens, wasn't it, in the whatever years.
Even like Padraig Harrington, only in the last kind of few decades has won opens with them. And then Gary Woodland, a couple of years ago, won a major with using the Wilson irons as well. For me, I think that if you looked at it from a business standpoint, I think he's probably nailed it on the head with two things. I think back in the day, they made phenomenal irons, really, really good, brilliant blades. They were killing it. I think with a lot of these brands now, as Callaway and TaylorMade have started to do, they try and make everything, don't they?
Yeah.
And probably you've got each brand really has its own exact...
specialty almost.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like, I would say TaylorMade is more of a wood company.
Yes.
I would say that, for example, Titleist is more of a ball company.
Yeah.
I would say that Ping is more of an iron company, a putter company, sorry, Ping.
Yeah.
For its original roots. And then I think Wilson, what they started to do is try and make too many different products, drivers, wedges, golf ball, putters, et cetera, which they're still trying to do right now. And I also think they also tried to captivate the package set market.
Yes, they did.
I think when they were really popular, they also tried to go, well, we're killing it up here at the best players in the world, good players. How do we kill it down here as a mass product?
Well, Wilson Deep Red now is kind of that package set brand, which is decent gear. It was at the time, Wilson Deep Red was their premium line.
It was.
And then they kind of brought it down a little bit. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I think then the guys who were up here who regard Wilson as being the best of the best start to look at these package sets and go, I'm now being associated with this brand. Yeah, a bit like what PXG have done recently.
Yeah,
I think we've seen this exact same trend, but with PXG. They came out with these ridiculously expensive clubs, really aspirational. Everybody wanted to try them. I was getting pestered about testing PXG. They've gone off the planet now. Yeah. They're making package sets. Like, I never thought I'd see that.
Strange, isn't it?
If they were going to make a package set, I wanted to see them make a 12 grand package set.
Yeah.
Not a £1,000 package set, which I think what they've brought out now.
Sort of RAM as well, by the way.
RAM was a good one. So I think over time, what these brands sometimes do is maybe get a little bit greedy and try and captivate every single market. I would say the only real brand that has done that in the last decade or so, and I'm not talking in golf, is probably Apple. I probably would say Apple are the only brand that have actually managed to captivate the laptop market, the phone market, the music market, the speaker market.
You know what they do very differently, though, although you're completely right, they take the time, don't they? So they, I don't know what year Apple was formed, but the first iPhone was, I think, 07. So it took a long time. Yeah. And then, like, the wireless headphones were such a long time.
They didn't come out with the phone, did they?
No, exactly.
They started with the actual Big Macs.
Yeah, no, exactly. So it makes you think that, like, do some of the golf brands rush into it? Or it's like, again, we've used this example a lot of times, but Mizuno, just, it baffles me how, again, it's nothing, Mizuno equipment is fantastic. If I was playing, if I did play with a guy or whatever, when I went to go and play at Stockport, let's say he was off a 5 handicap and had Wilson irons, sorry, Mizuno irons, I'd think nothing of it. If they say, oh, what ball are you playing? Oh, I've got Mizuno 1. You're almost thinking, why are you using Mizuno ball? Mm. It just seems like it's hard for one brand. I think Titleist is probably the only one, and TaylorMade, really, who do everything.
But I think Titleist were
Callaway,
clever,
I guess, actually, there's a few.
In the fact that they headhunted experts in each field. So Titleist were making golf ball, and they went, right, let's make some wedges. Yeah. We'll use the best person in wedges, Bob Vokey. Okay, you're going to come with us. Who's the best person making putters right now? Scotty Cameron. Okay, you're going to come with us.
I think as well, another thing that comes down to it that often we don't kind of even consider is the actual, forgetting about just golf for a moment, it's the actual brand themselves and what is their kind of focus. So Wilson Sporting Goods are owned by Amer Sports, which is a massive sporting company. But obviously Wilson are very big in tennis and other racket sports. So I don't know, I mean, I'm sure we could find this out with a bit of research, maybe we should have done some before, but I don't know in terms of what golf actually makes up the market of their business.
Well, I went to in Chicago and I went to Wilson HQ.
Yeah.
I went in with this mindset, it's a golf company. Golf was a tiny little space in this gigantic office in Chicago.
So it's how much have they want to put into it?
It was tennis. I'm sure there was some crazy stat, like they make more tennis balls than do golf balls.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Like they sell so many more rackets. They sell footballs and American footballs and, you know, for the company like Wilson, golf is such a like a side project almost. Where probably other brands like a Callaway or a TaylorMade, that's all they do right now.
Yeah.
And Ping, so to speak.
I've got a couple more questions, and then I've got one last thing actually that I forgot to mention during the kind of body of the podcast, which I think is really important. So from Brad, he said, predictions for Rick's temporary sports interest in 2022. So we've had darts was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
We've had football. We've had badminton. F1.
I've really got into F1. Really,
so F1's a big
one. Lando Norris followed me the other day.
Did he?
And Carlos Sykes follows
me. I don't know who that one is.
But Ferrari driver.
Oh, wow. So this year's going to be F1. Football's still there? Football died off a bit.
Loosely. Still there.
What else could you get into this year then, do you think? Anything else?
My mate went and played Jay.
Yeah.
Played tennis last night.
Oh, Jay's name's not actually Jay, is it? It's like
Jonathan.
Yeah. I thought it was like actually James.
He'll be loving this, by the way, this shout out. So
Big J.
Our girls go to Brownies together
and
he told me he's turned up in his shorts, hoodie on. He's dead buzzing. He's going, I'm going playing tennis after this.
Oh, tennis. Hard tennis.
I'm not a tennis
so
person.
Much harder.
I don't think I've ever played. There's a couple of sports I've never played. Tennis and rugby.
Rugby.
We actually got an email the other day.
I saw that,
to promote rugby, but I was like, I can't promote rugby because I know nothing about rugby.
You know what I watched today? You know those weird programs like where people move abroad or whatever, and then they have like a business and stuff. It's like how they get on with it. There's this sport, I can't remember what it's called. It's basically like paddle or something, and it's basically badminton, tennis, and squash all as one. Yeah. So it's like tennis, but you can hit off the walls.
Yeah, it's huge in Spain.
Looks really good. So maybe that we'll get into that. And from Robbie Aston has said, do you fancy coming to my stag do at Slaley Hall?
Yeah.
Imagine you on a stag do.
I've not been on a stag do for years.
Paul Seaton. You've got loads of mates. Person who you were most starstruck by, Rick, when you met them. From Paul Seaton.
That's a good question. Silence. Who's the most starstruck by? Oh, I don't know. Probably Robbie Williams.
Robbie Williams, yeah. Probably. The final thing that I want to cover, again, this might go as a bit of a clip for the YouTube channel, was, is the new season of drivers. We know that obviously we've got the TaylorMade driver and we've had the Callaway driver. There's a Cobra coming soon. I don't know if I can definitely say that or not, but there is. I think we can. And there's some other bits and bobs throughout the year. One brand who aren't bringing a driver this year is Ping.
Is this now being confirmed?
This is confirmed. I might not tell my source just yet who my source is, but it's confirmed. So basically, a couple of reasons why, but Ping aren't bringing out a new driver this year at all, and the G425 will stay current until next year, so 2023.
Wow.
And the reason I wanted to call that out was because I'm using the Ping, and I know you are, and I genuinely think it's a really good driver. Not only for everybody, it's not the most conventional looking driver. The turbulators on the top I hate. Sounds not for everybody, but for me that max head does feel forgiving.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks big and it's mad. When I was younger I'd love a real pear shaped driver. Now I want a huge footprint. I'd have a square driver if I could actually now. I want something big, and for me that's what I get. So it's definitely one that I think if you're looking at a new driver, I'd try it. It could be a bit Marmite in certain hands. But I saw somebody tweet the other day and said, hiya Rick, do you know if the Ping's getting replaced? Because I want one. But I don't know if it's going to get replaced or superseded very soon.
So the thing is, though, if it's the start of 2023, it's only been out 2 years.
Well, yes and no, because it has, but it actually launched a lot earlier in Australia, if you remember. It was announced about 6 months prior. So in theory, although you're correct,
randomly,
in the UK, you might have only been able to purchase it for, let's say, what would have been just over 2 years. And that's also if it launched at the start of 2023. I don't know when it will. But in reality, it'll be in people's minds and they'll have seen it for what? It's going to come up to about... maybe not for 3 years, weirdly. What's interesting, though, and I've been told this by members of staff in stores, it's gone up in price. about £20. So to buy one new now, the Ping G425 Max in England, the UK, is £420. I think it was £400 before. So I just thought it's kind of our, almost not our duty, but I just wanted to give it to people who...
Public service now.
Well, yeah, but if you're after a Ping, from what I've heard, which is genuine source, it's not going to replace until 2023.
Interesting.
And also, what's different with Ping...
Do you think more brands should do that?
Yes. Well, what's different with Ping is it's owned, like family-owned.
Yeah, it is.
Whereas other brands obviously kind of publicly trade or having loads of shareholders and all that kind of stuff. So they need, every year, need a massive influx of cash from new drivers. Whereas obviously Ping don't want to lose money, clearly. But within a family-owned business, they can do things like this. I think due to coronavirus, due to other aspects as well, they will have the next driver nailed on. I can almost guarantee that. Like, so let's just call it a Ping G450, or whatever it's going to be called. That will be made, I can guarantee that. Maybe not in massive quantity. And that will be ready to launch whenever they want to launch in 2023, whenever that might be. But for now, it's not going to be replaced. So I just thought I'd bring that in as a little topic because it's interesting. Well, I'd love to see more brands do it.
A lot of people have been waiting for G425s as well. I think there's been a bit of a backlog.
It's one of the worst affected brands by all the COVID stuff. When I played at Stockport the other day, as I said earlier on, there was a guy coming in that day, I believe, who ordered Ping Iron 6 months earlier.
Wow.
And they were just coming in that day, so it's taken him 6 months.
That's crazy.
But yeah, I think... people would like that. If brands are more honest, I don't know if Ping will come out and say this. I think they should. It would be quite cool. I don't know how they would do it, how they would kind of market this. But if they came out and said, look, our driver isn't getting replaced for the year, so go out and enjoy the G425, whatever. We've not beat it yet, or whatever however they want to spin it. That would be interesting.
I just think a dead simple logo, like, still the best. Tick.
Yeah.
It's like, this is still the best.
We said, didn't we, at a brand, I don't know if it's on the podcast, but a brand came to present us a product who kind of admitted that the G425 was what they call a unicorn driver.
Yeah.
Because it kind of does everything you want and it's very hard to do that.
Yeah. It's so forgiving, it's long, it's blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Right. That was a good episode back.
How long was that, Matt? 1 hour 15.
Whoa.
Not bad for free.
It is, yeah.
And this will be out the same day of recording it. This is actually one of those weird ones where it's the same day.
I feel like we should have talked about the crazy event in Hawaii or whatever.
Under par.
Madness. Galore.
I didn't watch any of it, I'll be honest.
I watched a lot of highlights, but I didn't watch anything live.
I'm going to try and watch a bit more golf.
Under par.
Yeah.
How mad is that?
It's ridiculous. It was like nine under a day, isn't it?
Well, you had to be 8.5 under a day.
That's ridiculous.
I mean... By the way, the golf course was 7,600 yards.
These guys are good.
Par 73.
These guys are good.
I mean, John Rahm shoots 34 under par and doesn't win.
Thing is, though, if you get your ball speed at 190, you could be out there next year.
Hello.
Showing them how it's done.
You know what's really funny about all that as well? TaylorMade launch, Callaway launch, Titleist win. The event. Cameron Smith.
He's very good. You saw that PJ Memes video we did, which showed around his house in America.
That,
really
good.
Nice guy. I like him.
You like Cameron Smith?
Yeah, I must admit, I kind of never had many feelings either way. Who was it we talked about recently Robert McIntyre, who again was kind of one of those, I didn't dislike him.
Mm.
I didn't like him. Yeah. I just kind of felt quite neutral. And it was a little bit the same with Cameron Smith, but I watched that video with him where it was a bit of his house tour, and he looks like a fairly kind of shyish lad, but he came across really well. I like him.
Even someone asked him recently, because obviously he's now leading the FedEx first event, said, what would you do with the 15 million? He went, I've kind of got enough money. I'd probably buy a bit more fishing gear. I'm like, it's great, mad, isn't it?
I think that's one of the things I'm loving with YouTube these days and social media, is seeing a bit more of these golfers, because you can sometimes have maybe not a negative opinion, but an opinion on a player just from what you see on TV and the short interviews. But what's funny is, if you think about it, you're a golfer. They obviously have a level of confidence playing golf, a massive confidence playing golf in front of people. Obviously, they wouldn't get to where they were without it. And they must have some level of confidence doing interviews to some degree. But when you've just come off the golf course and a camera shoved in your face, that's not going to be, there's not many guys who act exactly the same as they do in real life.
They can't do.
Exactly. So then when you think, actually, we can see more stuff like what Ryson does on YouTube now, and you see the real them. It is interesting. It's an eye-opener. I think we'll see more of that.
He's had to pull out this next event.
No, Bryson
has. Sony, because of a wrist injury.
Oh.
As it started.
That is the... Well, when you do watch his videos, I'm not against bashing hitting it far, because it's so fun to watch. But when you watch some of his training, the intensity of it, it's probably inevitable something's going to happen. Whether it be a gym injury or something from speed or whatever.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy.
But then again, for someone like him, I think he's going to be the kind of golfer who might go like injury, miscut,
win
tied
six.
40th, and win a couple. And that's the way that, like, nobody's going to be like Tiger now, are they? Which just make every cut and win all the time.
Until he comes back.
Oh, yeah. Would you take that, though? Four PGA Tour wins a year, but you miss more cuts than previously. Whatever.
Or weekends off.
Yeah.
I don't know. They want to win. Where Bryson is right now, he just wants to win, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like, it's not a money thing, surely now. Sure, it will be a little bit, but he wants to make more wins.
Yeah.
Prediction, just very quickly. I'm going to ask you three predictions. So, at the start of the year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
By the end of this year, 2022,
yeah,
who will be the world number one golfer?
Can I just have a quick look at the world ranking?
It's currently Jon Rahm, then Colin Morikawa.
I think Morikawa's very, very good, isn't he?
Should we put it in the envelope?
Yeah. I must admit, I can't see past Morikawa. I know it's number two, it's not like the most bold shout ever, but he's just that good. I've not got anything to suggest he won't be.
I'm going to go bold. I'm going to say Xander Schauffele.
Okay.
For no reason, just because he's number seven.
Who'd you want it to be then? That's a different question.
I want it to be Jon Rahm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've really, really become a big fan of Jon Rahm. Don't know what it is, just like him.
I think I would like it to be Bryson, I'll be honest. I just think as well, if he because he's not been world number one, has he, Bryson?
No.
If he became world number one, I think it would bring more eyeballs to sport.
What was funny, he was my prediction at the start of 2021, to end 2021 as number one.
Where did he come, like eighth or something?
He's eighth currently.
Very good.
Last one then.
One then.
Four names who are going to win a major. Well, it doesn't have to be four names. I think Victor Hovland's going to win.
I think Rory's going to get one.
I think Victor.
Yeah, it's a good shout.
I think Justin Thomas.
Yeah.
And I think Tony Finau.
I'd love all though. I would like to see, because Rory's not won now since 14, has he?
No.
Which is ridiculous.
It's crazy, isn't it? Oh, and Tommy Fleetwood.
My love list, if you want to hear my love list, my top four, would actually be Tommy.
Yeah.
Minwoo Lee. Yeah. Sam Horsfield.
People we might get a shout out from.
No, I would love to see Tommy win one, and I really would. I'd like to see Minwoo Lee win one, just because I've seen how good he actually is at golf. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I would like to see Bryson win more as well, just to kind of prove people. Because I feel like he's got that many haters now for what he's doing. I'd like to see him prove people wrong.
Do you think he's got... I think he's got less haters right now.
Might have less than he did, obviously. That's got people who don't like him.
Yeah.
My stomach's rumbling like mad. I'm worried if you can hear it. Anyway, should we go and film some club reviews?
Let's go into the five shots.
Yeah, five shots done.
Easy peasy.
Cool. All right then.
Let's see you next week.
5-star rating, please.
Oh, you can rate on Spotify now.
5 stars.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.